John 21, 1 to 19. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore, and it was full of large fish, 153 of them. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him for the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you were dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Some of the best stories in history, books, movies, articles, TV shows, some of the best stories are redemption stories. Think of It's a Wonderful Life, Good Will Hunting, Spider-Man. Stories where the main character gets into trouble. He falters. He can't live up to the kind of person that he wants to be, and he does something wrong. But over the course of the story, this person then redeems themselves and is transformed into a new way of living. The best of these redemption stories focus on the inner struggle that the main character has to go through, the pain and the guilt that they feel for letting people down, for not doing the right thing or living up to the expectations they put on themselves. But then the transformation comes. This is where the music swells and the energy explodes in the movies. And you see somebody with a mediocre life be transformed into an amazing individual. And you see them step up and do the right thing, find the inner strength, and be reborn almost into a new person. Oftentimes there's a turning point, something that happens to spur on this transformation. Experiencing a great evil, being encouraged by a mentor or friend, seeing something within themselves and responding to God's call on their lives. And in this moment, they're made new. And the rest, we shall say, is history. Today's story, Peter's story, is a redemption story. Here's Peter, Once one of Jesus' closest friends, his inner circle, his most trusted disciple, the one Jesus had chosen to build his church on, and he failed. He let Jesus down. 3 times he denied knowing Christ as he was heading to the cross. 3 times he pretended like he didn't know him because he didn't want to face the ramifications. And now, ever since that Holy Week, Peter has been living with the shame and the guilt of what it meant not to be the kind of man that he thought he was. The shame and the guilt of betraying his beloved friend and teacher. I would imagine that Peter's done a lot of wrestling with who he is, not being the kind of man he thought he was. Once thinking that he was loyal and brave, now believing that he was a coward and afraid to step up to the plate when it really mattered. Now wondering if he's really worth anything at all. I wonder if that's why we find Peter fishing today. He's not out doing disciple-like tasks. He's not out loving people, feeding people, caring for God's people. No, he's doing what he knows best. He is too afraid to work, so he ran home and went back to his old life, the life he had before he knew Jesus. We find him fishing. But he's failing even at that. Here, a fisherman by trade in his home territory, angling for the fish that he knew best, and after a long night, still he had caught nothing. Just one more thing to reinforce his belief that he was a failure, that he wasn't worth anything, that he was nobody. Then a stranger on the shore yells out, "Friend, have you have any fish?" Great, just what they need. No. So throw in your net, give it one more try, see what you get. Oh good, a looky-loo, somebody that's well-rested, standing on the shore, probably well-fed, telling us what to do. What does this guy know about fishing? But why not, they think. We've been at it all night. We don't have anything to eat. We might as well give it one more try. So they throw their nets in onto the other side of the boat, and miraculously, they catch so much fish that they can't even pull them into the boat anymore. And it's in this moment that they realize what's happening. John yells out, "It's the Lord!" And Peter, in his excitement, tucks in his clothes and jumps out of the boat and starts swimming towards Jesus. So excited to see his Lord again. They had seen Jesus before. The gospel tells us this is the 3rd time that Jesus has come to the disciples since he had been resurrected. And yet there's something about this miracle, something about this amazing abundance of fish. What were they going to do with 153 fish? Something about this that made Peter's heart cry out to the Lord, and he ran as fast as he could to get there. But the story doesn't end there. Jesus invites them to share in a meal that he had prepared on the shore. And he even singles Peter out, and he says, "Go get some of those fish that you caught. We'll eat those too." And he includes Peter and validates the work that he did all night long. I would imagine Peter's feeling pretty guilty at this point. Not only had he let Jesus down when he was going to the cross, but he had abandoned the task that Jesus had left him to do of building his church. And now, like a student caught ditching their class, he's coming to be scolded by his teacher, he must think. I can only imagine what Peter must have thought when Jesus called him aside to have a private conversation with him. "Simon, son of John," Jesus says, "you know you're in trouble when the teacher uses your full name. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then feed my lambs." Again, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then take care of my sheep. A third time, Jesus says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt. Why was his Lord, his friend, his beloved, questioning him? Doesn't he believe him? What is there that he can do to prove his love to Jesus? And Peter cries out, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. Peter may have had his feelings hurt in this interchange, feeling like Jesus was judging him, holding it against him, blaming him. But we have the benefit of perspective, don't we? And we can see that Jesus wasn't trying to make Peter feel bad. He wasn't scolding him or blaming him. But he was giving him the opportunity for redemption, the opportunity to confess his faith in God just as many times as he denied it, to call Peter back into relationship with himself, to love him. There was no shame or no guilt here. Jesus wasn't trying to make him feel bad or rub salt in a wound that Peter was already very familiar with. But he wanted to allow Peter to make it right and be restored into the community of God. And Peter, of course, then goes on to be the rock in which God builds his church on, one of the founding fathers of our church today. This is a true redemption story, if ever there was one. But it's not just Peter's redemption story. It's our redemption story as well. Because we too have strayed from God, betrayed him, let him down. And we too are in need of forgiveness. At our baptism, we pledge our hearts and our lives to God, to remain true always, to never stray from the path that he has called us to. And yet stray we do, each and every one of us, whether it's sin or rebellion or indifference or laziness, all of us let God down at some point or another. We forget the purpose he's called us to. We deny our Savior. But God doesn't meet us with guilt or shame, but with love and forgiveness. And he seeks out each and every one of us, just like he sought out Peter, and gives all of us an opportunity to be reunited with him. But not only does Christ forgive us when we fall down, not only does he pick us up and dust us off and encourage us, but he also invites us to try again, to put aside our past failures, and to once again walk the life that he has called us to walk. And just like Peter, each of us are invited to use our gifts to serve those around us. And boy, what gifts do we have? Each of you have been handcrafted by God, made especially just for him and for the unique work that he has put before you. Some of us are gifted in compassion, creativity, ingenuity. Some have the gift of strength or a listening ear, the ability to take a vision and put it into action. And you all have used your gifts so generously. Teaching Sunday school, singing, caring for our vision or our building, casting vision, discerning God's will for our future. But not only have you used your gifts within these four walls to care for God's sheep, you've used them throughout your entire lives, your home, your workplaces, your schools. The way you encourage a coworker is an act of love to God. The way you help your classmate is a blessing to Jesus. The way you care for your elderly neighbor or stand up for justice. The way you put your family first, Live your faith out loud. All of these are ways that you put your gifts into action and participate in God's kingdom. Your work matters, friends. You matter. Nobody can do the work God has created for you but you. And God needs you as he builds his kingdom right here in Whitensville. So who are the sheep that Christ has called you to care for? The individuals that God has put in your life to shepherd and love. Who are you being called to share the good news with? Are you being faithful to this calling? The time you give, the heartbreak you feel, the love you invest does not go unnoticed by Jesus. And yes, all of us fall short. None of us can do what our hearts desire and serve God perfectly. But Christ knows that. He loves us and forgives us anyway. But not only does he forgive us, he also picks us up, dusts us off, and gives us a nudge back in the right direction, calling us to participate in his kingdom right here, right now. This is a redemption story, if ever I have heard one. So this morning, wherever you find yourself in this journey, in need of forgiveness, in need of encouragement, in need of a gentle nudge, I invite you to hear Jesus' words to all of us, the questions of if we love him. And I invite you as a congregation to respond responsively, knowing that not only does God love and forgive us, but he sends us to feed his sheep as well. Please join me. United Presbyterian Church, the members gathered here, Bill, Mary, Judy, Mike, all of you, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Oh, can we put up the... Members of the United Presbyterian Church, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. United Presbyterian Church, do you love me?
Yes, Lord.
Then feed my sheep. United Presbyterian Church, do you love me?
Yes, Lord.
Then feed my sheep. Let us pray. God, I thank you that we are so loved. God, and that you are so gracious. Give us the strength and the endurance and the perseverance to love you with everything we have. God, to give you our hearts, our hands, and our lives to your service. Show us the sheep that you have called us to shepherd. God, and help us be faithful in this task. In your name we pray. Amen.